It's the footballiest time of the year. With quarterbacks throwing and tailgaters ready for some brats and beer. It's the footballiest time of the year.
Excited, guys.
It's the pig skinniest season.
That's enough. Let's kibitz. Let's kibitz. Hi and hello and happy holidays. Whoa!
What?
Merry Christmas. I almost forgot. Violated the law. Hey, welcome to the Dave Damashek football program. Hope it's been a festive holiday season for you here in Studio 66. It certainly has been. We have much to get to here. And in just 2 days, well, it's Tuesday at the time of this recording, whenever you're listening, Thursday the 28th, is that the right date? Thursday the 28th, it is the Shecky Awards.
Oh,
yes.
Right.
Yeah, you hear all the about the Grammy Awards will tell you about music, and the Academy Awards will talk to you about the movies that were released. The Shecky Awards cover all the rest of it, fruit of the year, best alphabet letter, worst alphabet letter.
It's the only award show you need.
Yeah, best residual, cereal, milk, all the stuff, the important issues that you need covered for you, so make sure you're ready. Better go ahead and just subscribe now so that you don't end up you don't want egg on your face. You don't want to be embarrassed on the 29th. Like, whoa, can you believe what won the best movie that Dave saw in 2017? Like, oh, did it?
Everybody's going to be talking about it. Yeah,
you'll be red in the face at the New Year's Eve party. All right, let's say hello to
everybody. Best Christmas movie.
Best Christmas movie. I love it. You're already in the Q&A mode. That's
I watched Home Alone yesterday.
And there's Colleen Wolfe.
Not a big fan of Home Alone.
Scrooge is the most underrated.
It's
Scrooge
unrealistic.
With Bill Murray.
It's very good. No, Bartlett Behind the Glass is getting in my ear with the nonsense of that everybody loves to talk about Christmas Vacation.
That's my favorite movie.
Really?
But that's like, it's more of a nostalgic thing because
I
watched
overrated.
It all the time when I was little.
Overrated. No way. Overrated. Yeah, that's what I said.
I've never seen that movie. So.
You've never seen Christmas Vacation?
Fine. Just watch the original Vacation. That's
hey, Griswold, where are you going to put a tree that big? Bend over and I'll show you. That's like one of the best lines.
It's fine. It's not a bad movie. It's just not great.
Oh.
I went over my head.
You know what might be the best? Talk about the actual most underrated. The Ref is a very, it's a great script. It's,
really?
It's Kevin Spacey and Dennis Leary.
Out on Spacey.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I can't watch that anymore. Yeah, right. Sorry. Taken back.
Way to go, Shaq.
All right. So
Die Hard is the best Christmas movie ever.
This debate that goes each and every year now about whether or not that Christmas
because it came out around Christmas, didn't it?
No, it came. That's the knock against Die Hard being a Christmas movie is that it came out in summertime.
On
that's
Sunday,
why.
Steve Smith said Gremlins and Michael Robinson said The Matrix. Like, nobody's talking about Christmas movies here.
Wait, The Matrix has nothing to do with Christmas.
But I guess he said he always watches it at Christmas. So that's a Christmas movie.
That's because he has
fast and loose with
it. I can see the Gremlins because it's like a little Christmas holiday thing and they start going crazy.
They're dancing on the bar.
Yeah, well, that's the slippery slope you can fall into. If Christmas is invoked in the movie, it's a Christmas movie.
Yeah.
I guess it can.
Anything, anytime they ever reference Christmas time.
Yeah, if it's snowing outside, there's a Christmas tree.
I mean, listen, there's a lot of Christmas music in Die Hard, and you can make a case.
They're at a Christmas party.
Makes you appreciate, right? It's a Christmas party. I agree with all that. I think it's an overdone debate, as a matter of fact. I think clearly it is, except, like I say, it did come out in summer.
Well, they had to film it during Christmas, so then they had to do all the production, and it comes out in summertime.
You know, I don't know if you are aware of this, Maurice, that Hollywood can put up little ornaments and stuff, even if it's May. No. They could do it.
They can do so many things.
I don't believe you.
Think it's wintertime.
I don't believe you.
All right. Let's talk about the game of pro football, shall we? And the game of life we have coming up with us, speaking of which, one of the great documentarians of our time from NFL Films, it's Keith Cosgrove, now the host of the NFL Films podcast, available on iTunes and NFL.com/podcast. Make sure you go check that one out. It's great stuff.
I got to add that to the rotation.
Cosgrove's our pal, and he goes deep on all the documentaries they make, and I think people are interested in that kind of stuff these days because so many people make their own little documentaries about their lives and stuff. I think people are now intrigued by how do you do it and what goes into making that. And so anywho, go and check this one out. He's got a good one coming up this week about the Ice Bowl and the documentary that airs on NFL Network on Friday night on Timeline. I didn't say proper hellos to us, to them. Let's say proper hellos, first of all, to Philadelphia's own, the host of Good Morning.
You can do it. You can do it.
No, I can't. I just blew it already. It's Good Morning Football, the weekend edition. What else are you on?
Game Day Morning.
Okay. So it's two shows.
Power Ranking.
Okay.
This show.
And around the NFL.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the biggest one. That's her favorite one.
That is.
You guys have so much heat, like, going on between everybody in the podcast system here.
It is what it is. That's how we get down.
It's very competitive.
What can I tell you? All right.
I'm Switzerland.
Here she is. She holds the number one seed, and it's not even week 17 yet, her Philadelphia Eagles at least. I'm the right arm of Nick Foles. What a dream. Here she is, everybody. It's Colleen Wolf.
Hello.
That's it. That's all we have
time that was
for.
Really
and then
today.
Also
okay.
You hear his voice
You don't
there.
Even need to play my music, though.
Don't want it today?
No, I want the music right now.
No?
You just want to guess? Because my Jags lost to the Niners.
Well, Maurice, you and I were both.
I almost picked that game, too.
Can I tell you something?
I was nervous, but I didn't think it was going to be like that, though.
I'm not trying to call you out, but you said that Jimmy G had yet to face a legit defense, and he was going to get his comeuppance. Instead, he looked pretty good.
Well, I'm going to tell you, I have a bunch of boys that are Niners fans, and so we go back and forth in the chat, and that's kind of what I was telling them. But I was nervous because guess who played for a whole year against that defense? The exact same defense. Kyle Shanahan, right? Because he was in Atlanta. Same Gus Bradley-style
defense. Interesting.
Then he brings over the linebacker coach from Jacksonville, and guess what? All this year he's been practicing against that defense. And so he knows the ins and outs of it, regardless of who the players are. I mean, they were running some really good plays where they were getting their fullback running on our middle linebacker somehow. Like, they were just finding ways. And so, don't get me wrong, Jimmy Garoppolo made some great throws. He looks great. And, you know, I always tell my boys, like, it's funny. There is no expectation for the Niners right now, so he could do all this stuff if they lose. But the biggest issue is they're going to have to pay him a lot of money come this offseason. And then you're going to be, again, he's going to have to be able to mask some issues. He's going to have to cover.
You know what? We have so much to get to and not very much time to do it. Pull back the curtain, you know, no jive here in Studio 66. Maurice and I already talked to Keith Cosgrove. It's a good 25-minute conversation about this, that, and the other, about modern-day pro football and so on. So make sure you check that out. All right, so my brain has many things it wants to address right now. First thing is with Jimmy G. I had inside information from someone who would definitely know that the Kyle Shanahan, Kirk Cousins bromance was very real, that he was going out there. I don't think, and I have now talked to this guy since Jimmy G's, you know, a little streak that he's put together now of really playing well. And I said, Kirk Cousins still to San Francisco? And he said, no, it just can't be. They're just not – what are they going to do now? They're not going to bring Cousins in on top of Jimmy G. So now that makes Kirk Cousins presumably available unless D.C. locks him up for like $34 million, which would be plumb low.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
No.
I don't think so.
He's going to go to Jimmy Denver. G.
You think Denver? But the thing that's intriguing is Blake Bortles looked like what people associate
with. Well, he went backwards.
I know.
And they actually finally played, you know – let's remember, the Texans have been banged up. They don't have their team. And he's played well. I mean, he's played well enough. And so that's kind of the thing. When he doesn't turn the ball over, they win. Well, guess what he did?
Yeah,
turn the ball over. So that's what happens.
All right, but now we're on the eve of the playoffs, and they're definitely in them, and they're gonna
ride the rock with him. And then you're gonna either figure out if he's a quarterback or not. We all know this in this league. The reason I got paid in Jacksonville was because I performed in the playoffs. The reason Ray Rice got paid, he performed in the playoffs.
Joe Flacco,
those guys, you get paid because you perform in the playoffs. So if he goes out and he gets on a hot streak, guess what? He'll get paid.
All right, let's look at it negatively. Let's say he doesn't play well. Whatever. Let's just decide right now. We don't know what's going to be. Who's the quarterback of the Jags right now in 2018? Is it Cousins? Is it Eli? Is it Blake Bortles? TBD?
I think there. I mean, it could be a rookie. They may go out and try to draft a rookie, move up in the draft. You just don't know. Like, I think they have enough money to spend for Kirk Cousins. They have enough money to make some big moves. But they, you know, if they make that push, they're gonna have to draft like, you're going to have to hit on every draft pick known to mankind.
Yeah, and I think if Blake Bortles goes into the playoffs and plays like the old Blake Bortles, like the Blake Bortles that we all can't stand watching, the one that turns over the ball, Tom Coughlin is not going to allow another year of that. Like, no. there will be someone else in there.
I agree with that. I think Eli makes a lot of sense, although Eli Manning in that turquoise and gold helmet is funny to think about.
Or do you, like, if you're going to – I guess, yeah, you bring him in because you have that defense right there and you're sort of like, this is a window right now that we have. Or do you want to bring someone else in younger and new?
Well, from the Giants' perspective, if they let Eli more or less handpick – the head coach, then I could see that saying, well, like, true. All right, I want to be a Giant for the rest of my life.
I have to go back to, let me say this for all these Niner fans that listen.
But they might also
Jimmy
take
Garoppolo
Sam Darnold.
Didn't, like, tear the Jaguars. He threw for 242 yards and 2 touchdowns. Like, he didn't, like, blow them up.
You're right.
Just remember that. You got the ball on your 18. You got the ball, like, from picks and other things. But so, like, it wasn't as if this defense wasn't really that good. I want to say they scored 3 touchdowns off of short fields or pick six, right? So the defense still played well. I mean, Jimmy played – he played good as – but I just think a lot of people right now, it's just hype, right? And so after watching the Raiders, what happened to the Raiders, where last year they didn't have a lot of expectation. It was like, oh, it's the Raiders, you know. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden you get this
– absolutely accurate. That's right.
Now you're creating expectation.
Well, it's like you have one loss since Thanksgiving.
Right.
The Niners do.
You're absolutely right.
And you've been playing at home against East Coast teams, too. And it's a tough travel. You're just creating expectations. So I just try to tell people, temper it a little bit, but they're fans. They won't. So they're going to be like, we're going to the Super Bowl next year. And I've heard people say it. So, hey, guess what? When they don't make it.
Well, let's flip it now, because the AFC side, I think as we go into the postseason here, the couple angles are – I got a good question. I wish I had the name, the person who tweeted apologies to that citizen of the Czech Republic for forgetting. The AFC side, I would certainly take the top 2 seeds over the bottom 4. And so that's one angle.
Would
but then
you?
The Yeah, I would. I just said I would.
You sure? I mean,
yeah, I'm positive.
The last time the Jets.
I didn't say it's definitely. I didn't say it's
the last
definite.
2-3 times.
You know who else swept the AFC North? The Chicago Bears.
Wow.
That for a weird
that's
stat.
That's crazy.
It is weird. But okay, fine. That's but the thing that you can point to with the AFC side is outside of Blake Bortles, he's the outlier because everybody else, I know Alex Smith people have their concerns about, but whatever. He's won some big
championship games.
Yeah, he's played big postseason games and performed well in them. You know, obviously Brady, Roethlisberger, presumably Rivers, and I know it's not done yet, but Flacco and Mariota could sneak in there. But anyway, good quarterbacks for the most part. The NFC side, the top 2 seeds, the question was, who do you want, the top 2 seeds or the bottom 4? On the NFC side, I'll take the bottom 4 because of the QBs. And let's go there. I want to get the Wolf's opinion on this. Nick Foles, what?
Saint Nick.
You've been pessimistic since October with Carson Wentz.
Well, since forever, but yes.
I know. But all right, so where are you now? Confidence level.
Oh, my God.
Divisional round game at home. Do you confidence level, you get to the championship game.
Oh, confidence level after last night, after watching the offense in the second quarter have like 1 yard. I mean, I think they actually had like 37 yards of offense in the second half, basically. Right. I mean – my confidence level is basically at the floor right now. I'm so freaked out by it. This feels, though, more natural.
1 to 10.
It feels like a better, more comfortable
spot. She
said a
1.
Yeah, I'm at like a 1 right now. I'm at a 1 after watching this.
Wait a second. So they're the 1 seed, which means they get the bottom seed coming out of the wild card, the worst seed.
That's the scariest part because it could be Cam Newton.
It absolutely
could. Yeah, Panthers or Saints.
It could be Saints. It could.
Yeah. And I think too.
Knock on wood,
I don't know
hopefully
if we
the
talked
Rams
about
make
it.
A run, but they got a tough. Depending on if it's Seattle or if it's Atlanta, those are two tough teams.
MJD, I think we talked about it last week on this show that the Giants figured out who to exploit on that secondary.
I told you the Rams did it a long time ago.
Last
the Rams
week
did it.
It was Ronald Darby that had issues, and then last night, Monday night, it was Jalen Mills, and then he got hurt. But they did the same exact thing, and then they were stacking the box, and they were just daring Nick Foles to beat them with his arm, which that's not going to happen. And he was so inconsistent.
He really looked
That was the Nick Foles
really
that I remember.
Bad.
That's they said something last night, like Nick Foles was talking about retiring.
He was
after playing with the like
Mike Garafolo talked about
that. He looked like that Nick Foles in that game, like come the second, third quarter. It was like third quarter, second half of the third quarter. He started like just moping around. And they changed the game plan.
For as much as Chip Kelly rightly is regarded now as out of his depth in the NFL. How did that happen? How did Nick Foles have that season he had with Chip?
And he had it in that massive game, that massive game against the Raiders in 2013, where he threw 7 touchdowns.
All right. So
he
Nick
couldn't even
Foles,
get the ball to Alshon Jeffrey. Alshon Jeffrey had
shut down
the
by
only
Sean
catchable
Smith.
Ball he had, and he only had 2 targets.
But don't you
Alshon
think
Alshon Jeffrey dropped?
We're gonna get in. We
it was cold outside
with the upcoming interview with Cosro here, Maurice. Keith and I do talk about the frigid temps that could exist in January up in Philly, and that to me is their ace in a hole. Do you feel the wolf?
No.
And then we'll get Maurice's
thoughts.
Why?
No, because they couldn't run the ball last night either. And if it's cold like that, you need to keep the ball
and
you
the Raiders,
need to be able to run it
Raiders
and you need to be able to protect
exactly
your quarterback.
And the 2000 Ravens even.
And the Raiders ran the ball at them and almost had – they had over 100 yards rushing on as a whole.
Yeah. I thought Marshawn was going to go over 100.
He
and that would have been the
chance.
First 100-yard rusher that they allowed all season.
Well, I think the biggest thing when you look at the Philadelphia
worried.
Is that their defense showed up. And it showed up, and they were opportunistic. It wasn't like they dominated the whole game, but they were able to get turnovers.
A lot of turnovers.
And they were able to get, like, I guess with Darby's pick, was able to get them field position so they can just dink and dunk it and then get in the field goal and let the guy kick it. But
how much do you attribute all those turnovers and the wonky play to the cold? Because that's what I'm getting at.
Nothing.
You don't have to like the cold. We can have the debate that I've always talked about.
It wasn't
cold
that
makes
cold.
You throw a pick like it had nothing to do. Like the picks were just. It was a bad ball that Foles threw over Zach Ertz's head. He tipped it to Reggie Nelson. He should have threw a pick 6 to Reggie Nelson earlier in the game.
Yeah, he should
have had 2 interceptions. But the QB's fingers aren't cold, and it doesn't make you sail the ball. I don't know.
How cold was it? Was it really that cold?
It was like 20 degrees.
I mean, but I feel like the games in Green Bay and Chicago and Buffalo.
But ain't nobody going up.
You think the Rams want that? You think the Rams? You think Drew Brees wants that?
No.
That's the point.
But Drew Brees,
don't you see if you can do that to him?
But Drew Brees and them can do that because they have a running game now.
And Drew Brees, the last time the Eagles were in the playoffs, Drew Brees and the Saints came to Philadelphia and beat them.
Very good. Very good. That's right.
But this is the thing.
Because
though.
Somebody brought that up last week, and then I quickly was hit up on social media. You know, the last time the Saints were in the playoffs, they went into Philly and defeated them.
Yeah.
Right. Well, the wolf gets the star.
It's not about the cold per se. To me, you have to have a quarterback that can stretch the ball down the field. And that's been the biggest issue in the NFC to this point. Case Keenum has done it sparingly, but not consistently. And they've done a great job of just eking out third downs, getting to third and shorts, getting the first down. And their defense is playing phenomenal.
Just having the threat.
Philly's defense for some reason though has kind of fallen apart. Like it was a passing game against the Giants, now it's the rushing game. Like they can't stop the run.
Well, because also they were always ahead in these games. The Eagles were always ahead, so the defense didn't have to make up for it, and they weren't on the field a ton either, like they are now.
Well, welcome to playoff football. Because I mean, it's the same way with the Rams when they were playing the Titans. They were going back and forth in that game. And it was like, this is a chance.
Okay, so we are 1 week away from the playoffs starting, and I can sincerely say that, all right, I can make a case on the AFC side. I could see Flacco staying hot because since his first quarter in Pittsburgh, after that, I mean, he stunk it up in the first quarter, and that's why the Steelers jumped on him as much as they did. From that point forward, 5 is heating it up a little bit. And I don't like that as a Steelers fan, but Flacco's playing well.
Do you think do you think his back is better? Do you think that was the
Maybe.
Issue earlier?
I mean, I just don't
year?
Think he's that good, generally speaking. It's been a decade, but we've obviously
seen.
But
what is it about him that he's able to just like all of a sudden when it matters?
I don't know what that's about, Maurice. How does a guy. That is a weird thing. Is explicable from player point POV?
No, what happens is offensive coordinators try to put in all these new plays. We're going to put the perfect play, and they try to get you in the perfect situation instead of letting the quarterback just say, look, we're going to do simple things, let you play fast, and go. When he plays fast, he's fine. Remember, when they won the Super Bowl, he had Anquan Boldin he threw it to, and he had Ray Rice who he threw it to. That was it. They had a kickoff return from Jacoby
Jones.
Jacoby Jones. And that's how they won. They like literally defense played well, special teams kicked in when it needed to, and he didn't turn the ball over. Very simple. Now, guess what? Defense is playing well, special teams is kicking in a little bit, and he doesn't turn the ball over.
But for the record, my point is I feel like I can make a case for the Chargers, and I can see the Jags being very disruptive to the point of maybe even really having a legitimate shot at getting to the Super Bowl. I think people are reining those expectations in after what they saw up in the Bay.
However, stumbles.
Right. That's fine. But I still feel like, I mean, listen, if it were me writing the script, I like all these storylines going, but ultimately, let's just get to the Steelers and Patriots again. Objectively, I think that's what we want.
You know what happens.
So. But we want you know the Steelers.
You know what's going to happen, right?
What?
The Jags are going to have to face the Steelers again.
I know.
In the playoffs.
No, worse. Worse. I'm worried about the Ravens coming into Pittsburgh for the divisional round. That's the one I don't want.
But how is that going to happen?
I don't know how it's going to happen. I just hope it
doesn't
happen.
They're going to be the 5 seed.
I know. I just don't want it to happen. That's right. My greatest fear. Listen, I want the Steelers to not have to play a divisional round game because I'm afraid they're going to get upset in Hines and be deprived of this game. But you know what? A lot of people we work with, Maurice, on your Players Only show on Friday were saying, at least two of you guys out there were saying that that the Patriots are going to lose. They're not going to even get to the title game.
Really?
It depends on who they play. If they mess around and they play Baltimore, you have to remember the two low seeds are.
They have to play the Jags. I wouldn't want to play the. Well, that can't happen because they'll be the three. But if you know what,
you have to play the Chiefs.
I know the Chiefs aren't as good since their 5-0 run and they've turned it around a little bit and started winning games, but they're still really not playing on the level that they were playing in the first month of the season. However, recent history says, if you beat the Patriots in the regular season and then face them again in the postseason, believe it or not, that team is the one that wins the game, not Belichick, the master.
Oh, really?
Oh, I got the film on them now. I'll figure them out. No, au contraire. The opposite is the case. 4 times this decade, teams that beat them in the regular season beat them in the postseason.
Wow.
That's the Chiefs.
You have the Chiefs.
And Kareem Hunt can bang. I mean, more practically, they can't stop the run. They're not stopping anybody from running.
The Ravens going to Foxborough, that's not a gimme. They've won up there before.
That's always a really good game.
And then you don't have to let it be the Chargers that sneak in, right? And let's say the Chargers who have played well against the Jaguars and then remember had the game won up there in New England till late in the game, I want to say it was like
they could have won the game. It's certainly the case
feel like if it's Chargers Jags if that happens, can that happen? It would just be a pick fest, I feel like. I feel like Philip Rivers
the last time they played, the old Philip Rivers last year, they would beat him this time. Yeah.
And I think they'd get him this time if that's the game you get there. And then that means that the Chargers are going up to Foxborough.
I love this time of year.
And the Steelers are getting the Ravens if they beat the Chiefs. And I don't want either the Chiefs or the Ravens. I just want to be kissed into the title game.
See?
It's not gonna happen.
Watch it be like
the Ravens at the Chiefs for the AFC title. It could that kind of thing could happen. The but Ravens the one that's even
the,
wonkier,
be the Ravens at the Chiefs for the AFC title. They're gonna
sure
play.
Could
each
be.
Other.
Oh. All right, I'm getting confused.
Whatever.
My question is, it seems as though the Patriots and Steelers are the two best, but see, we made a pretty clean case that things can derail that. But the NFC, who's the best team in the NFC? Saints?
No, so I talked about this.
The Rams?
With a couple teams. It just depends. They're matchup based, right? So similar how the Chiefs always lose to the Steelers, right? And then the Steelers have always lost to the Patriots and so on and so forth. It's the same way here. Like, the Saints are good if they play, like, the Panthers or if they play this team. But then you don't know how they're going to play against the Rams. The Rams beat them pretty handily in L.A.
That's true.
But then Minnesota's good. But then we haven't, like, Minnesota stumbled against the Panthers. So if they play the Panthers, guess what? It's probably going to be another L for them.
Well, and outside of the NFC South QBs, and we'll see if Matty Ice and company even get in there, and we're putting a lot of stock in Matty Ice, who's been mediocre.
Russell Wilson in there. I was pointing. I thought that was a
– Yeah, they can still sneak in. But that's the point is – there is no – There is no reasonable case to be made for any. I can say, well, Drew Brees has been there. He's won a Super Bowl. And if you buy that you need a good quarterback, and if you disagree with that, you're not paying attention, because in the 21st century, Flacco and Dilfer and right. Brad Johnson are the outliers. They are not the. They're not evidence that, well, you can win. Yeah, you can sneak through, but almost always a good quarterback is the guy who holds the
Peyton
Lombardi
Manning,
at the end.
Let's remember, put Peyton in there, too, because Peyton,
great point.
You need a
Fair
great
point.
Defense if you don't have a great quarterback.
And you have great defenses with the Panthers, the Saints, the Vikings, definitely. I mean, the Rams, those teams, even the Eagles have a great defense.
The Rams are the only team right now with a defensive player of the year and a MVP candidate. Think about that.
Ooh.
Wow.
And the quarterback
Todd
who played
Gurley.
Very well.
I loved Todd Gurley's tweet.
The Rams
it was like,
gonna go to
Merry
the
Christmas,
Super Bowl?
Fantasy owners. Now leave us alone.
No, Maurice, say it here and now, and then we're going to go to Keith Cosgrove.
Yeah.
Are the Rams going to the Super Bowl?
Yeah. I guess yes. I don't want
to get through.
He just
I don't
want
to. No, I know.
I don't
want to
jinx it.
Yeah.
That's why.
All
that's
of a
why,
sudden, because, you start thinking about.
Well,
like,
no, because I think they yes. can make it, but I don't want to jinx them and be like, yeah, you know, like they got a lot of work to do. They got some things they have to fix.
You
but.
Sit here
going
week
on
after week
and teams with Sam Ficken.
Hey, yo, yeah. Well, that was the scariest part.
Yo,
their MVP of the team was Greg Zuerlein, because once you cross the 50, it was pretty much good. This guy blows his back out, and all of a
Crazy.
Sudden you got a new kid in, and, you know, he stumbles, which early on we knew he was going to have some issues because it was his first game. He was used to sitting there like being a financial guy, but now he's coming into play. Hopefully he can get things going.
One day we have to get to the bottom of this kicker business. The guys who are good in college – Aguayo, the kid in with the Chargers this year.
He wasn't good at
Youngway, also. Youngway, Coop.
He was a YouTube guy.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, he was a YouTube. He's like a trick kicker.
So he tricked the Chargers into drafting him.
Hey, that's great.
But
good
the
job
guys,
by him.
Blair Walsh, the guys who are great in college, there is apparent. I mean, of all the positions in sports, not just in football, but of all the positions, success in college apparently has no leads to nothing in the NFL. And in the meantime, the best kicker in the NFL or a Pro Bowl representative who hasn't missed anything, and talk about knock on wood and not jinxing, but Chris Boswell. Chris Boswell, they pick up. Oh, wow. Your guy.
You got over the Patriots guy? Over Gronkowski?
He did. Oh, over. Forget Gronkowski. He got in over Justin Tucker, and the Ravens are very angry about it.
How about the Chiefs rookie kicker, too? Butker. How did he do in college?
Butker.
I like that guy.
These guys that they just find them on the street?
Has to be the weirdest dude on the planet, because isn't it like Tucker like sings like opera and all type of crazy?
He
like,
does?
Yeah, like,
and he makes horrible, horrible dad jokes at the podium after a game.
Yeah,
yeah, it's weird. I don't the math
That's
on that
why
is
they
very
have to
strange.
Be good. You have to be either a really bad introvert, or you have to be just like off your rocker.
All right, let's get to it now. Before the Wolf arrived, we kibitzed from Philadelphia or the Philadelphia area over there in NFL Films. One of our favorite guys, Keith Cosgrove. Let's get to it. All right, Maurice, let's get to it. Our main man out there at NFL Films. You know, I've never been there, by the way. You know
I've been
what?
A couple times.
Have you?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, maybe somebody invited you. I've never received an invitation.
You know, that's how I started this whole broadcasting gig, was Broadcast Bootcamp at NFL Films.
Ooh, maybe he has a review for you. Here he is, everybody. One of the main men over there at NFL Films, and that's a lofty position to hold in pro football or
what? The
in career
man?
In general. I mean, what can you do any better
he
than being?
He doesn't have any gray in his beard. How is he the main? Man,
you know what? Let's ask him right now. Here he is. He is the host now of the brand new NFL Films podcast, available at NFL.com/podcast and or iTunes. He makes all those wonderful shows about you know Hard Knocks and All or Nothing, this, that, and the other. And most importantly, Pittsburgh native Keith Cosgrove. What's the poop, fella?
Great to be with you again, Dave.
Let me tell you
and
something.
Hello, Maurice. We've never met, but it's a pleasure to be on the show with you guys.
Same here.
Now, first of all, Cosgrove, like I say, is a Pittsburgh native, and as a result, of course, he's a Steelers fan. And I remind anyone within the sound of my voice: no Pittsburgh, no football. I mean, that's what it all is about. We produce all the Hall of Fame QBs. Now we produced a producer who produces all the shows that you like to watch about pro football.
Okay. Well, before we went on air, we had to talk about the Steelers beating the Texans. And the people need to hear this, because you guys are really happy that you beat Taylor Heinicke and TJ Yates.
Ecstatic.
The Jags put up 45 on them.
We lost to Mike Glennon this year.
But he was a starting quarterback in the league. He was a back, like, these guys had never played football before.
When is he a starting quarterback in the league? For like 3 weeks, he was a starting quarterback.
Yeah, that's right. And by the way, the list goes on and on. The Tomlin kryptonite, we've talked about it ad nauseum here. Bad teams on the road. That's what makes me, for the first time in the 2017 season, feel like, you know what? The Steelers, this particular bunch, might be a little bit different because they went down there. They took all suspense out of it. That game was over with 5 minutes left in the first
quarter. Because that team is playing with nothing but backups. You guys lost to Chicago early in the year.
That's the kind of game that they would lose in the past. Right, Cosgrove?
The Steelers have found ways this entire season and for the past decade to turn those into compelling, ugly, horrible football games that end in the last minute.
Cosgrove, I want to talk about the latest great new little doc coming up on the Ice Bowl, airing NFL Network on Friday night. Make sure you check this one out. And it's important stuff because as we head into the 2017 dance in January, there might be some frigid conditions for pro football teams to do. But before we get to that, let's put a wrap on the regular season here. If you want to make a documentary about Dave Dameshek, you're more than welcome to, Cosgrove. I think I deserve it because if the Steelers beat the Browns on Sunday, it will be the sixth straight season that I correctly predicted what their final record was going to be. I said 13-3. Everybody laughed. No one's laughing anymore, Cosgrove.
I saw that. I'm impressed. I think, but I'd like to call back to my last appearance on DDFP, when before the start of the season, you and I discussed the question of whether the Steelers wake up in the morning all year long in 2017 thinking about the Dragon in Gillette Stadium. Mm-hmm. And I think that as the season has played out, Tomlin showed his hand with Tony Dungy in the notorious Sunday night interview that, yes, in fact, the Steelers knew where this season was headed the whole time and were focused on the Patriots and were able to walk and chew gum at the same time.
There's no doubt that they're obsessed by the Patriots, and rightly so, but I do think, speak of the Dragon, they essentially vanquished that Dragon. Don't you now in that locker room?
I don't know if you vanquished
But don't
the
you
dragon.
Feel Maurice is a player, like, legitimately? Don't you feel after that game in Heinz a couple of Sundays ago, if you're on the Steelers, don't you feel like, well, obviously we know now we can play with this team. It's not like, well, if we show up, Tom Brady's going to do it again to us. Now they feel like, oh, we have a real shot to take this team down.
I mean, the guy's 40 years old. He's still playing. You should be able to play with him.
Right, you can dismiss that. He's the best QB of all time, ain't he?
The most championships.
If you walk off that field losing the way the Steelers lost that day, and
I would be screaming at Ben.
Well, you might be screaming at Ben, but you feel as if, okay, we can take these guys.
My biggest issue with the whole Pittsburgh Steelers game is that we failed to realize that if it was – and I saw a footage where Tomlin was like, no, just run a play. Like, I get it where he's coming from because he's like, look, we're not going to play extra time with these guys. We want to end the game now. But if that was the case, like, they should have had a play ready. They should have had a play prepared. You know, and then there was a lack of communication.
Completely agree.
Right? But the end of the day – I've only played football my whole life. I know, and I've never played quarterback before. I've thrown a couple passes, but never played quarterback before.
How'd those go?
One went for a touchdown.
50-50.
Yeah, 50-50. I got a better quarterback rating than Brady Quinn and a bunch of other cats that got drafted in the first round. Anyways, when you do a fake spike, you never run an in route. Everything has to go out. And we saw Big Ben signal to the guy to run a slant or whatever his signal was, and Eli Rogers ran it. So – in that situation, I'm, like, just baffled. Like, at least run an out or a fade in that situation.
All right, fine. The point is they had that game won. Jesse James and I both agree that he had his right hand under the ball the entire time.
He can't move once it hits the ground.
Time.
Doesn't matter what happens.
No, the referees and in New York City, they fixated on, did the ball move? And they forgot to look. Was his hand ever under the ball? Was his hand under the ball the whole time? It was. Don't you give me any sound effects.
That I don't
was
know. I don't know. I'm just all over the place. I think Pittsburgh has all they have the recipe to beat New England.
26, that's the recipe.
No. I think just Juju with his big run and catch and his big playability. I think Martavis gives you problems if he gets going. Obviously, AB gives you a lot of problems as well. But
don't if Martavis, because he's now officially got it going.
Yeah, no. Yes. But the key is McDonald. The tight end has to be the one.
Because
they're
you.
Always – there. What people felt really – New England's biggest issue ever since they lost O.J. Mayo. Was it O.J. – not O.J. Mayo, was it? Was it O.J. Mayo?
O.J. Mayo.
Gerard Mayo?
Oh, yeah.
Earlier this season. Mayo.
Linebacker, yeah. It was a couple years ago.
Well, they lost Hightower.
No,
lost Hightower.
But Hightower can't cover. He was a rusher. No, Gerard Mayo was a guy out of Tennessee, but he was a guy that could cover those tight ends, and they've always been trying to replace him. And the team.
Well, they traded Chandler Jones and Jamie Collins, who were their two
Jamie
best
Collins
playmakers
was
in that front seven.
Well, think about this. The Kansas City Chiefs, who beat him handily, how'd they beat him? Tight end and running back. The guys that can't cover are your linebackers, right? Wow. When they lost, I want to say who else did they lose to? They lost to Miami. Who beat them? Running backs and the tight end. I mean,
should have lost to the Texans.
Should have lost to the
Deshaun
Texans.
Deshaun Watson running around, Lamar Miller,
tight
all
end,
that, right?
Your running backs and tight ends. So that's their kryptonite. And no one wants to.
The eye-opening thing watching the Patriots these last few weeks has been that their front seven lacks any.
Yeah, no
playmaking ability at all.
Absolutely right. That Cosro is 100% right on that. All right, let's talk about the NFC side. Well, first of all, quickly, I want you to tell us all about how the podcast is going. Sounds good. I'm a listener. I enjoy it. I love my history blended with a little bit of present day stuff. That's exactly what you're doing.
We ask ourselves, who is the audience for the NFL Films podcast? And I really have no idea. But we're doing our best to build one. If you like football, if you like movies, if you like football movies.
I like those
things.
This is
the podcast for you. I think we're trying to do something that doesn't sound or feel quite like anything else. We couldn't possibly try to do what you're doing here, Dave.
I don't know what that's supposed to
mean. To have a little fun and give people a little bit of a glimpse of how we make the documentaries that we're so privileged to make. And each one we've been able to interview the subjects of the documentaries and get their reaction to watching a film about their life, which is really an interesting thing to be able to do, to ask Emmitt Smith, what'd you think of your football life?
Sure. I think that's fascinating stuff. And by the way, if you had done it in 1978, the audience might be marginal, but I think in the 21st century, consumers are, media consumers are much savvier and much more intrigued by things like ratings and, all that, how do you make that kind of thing? Because people now like DIY movies themselves now, so people are now more fascinated by how the best in the business are getting it done.
There's no question that, well, the world of podcasting is so specific and niche oriented anyway, that you might as well just go talk about what you know, the whatever tiny sliver of the universe you can claim to be expert at, and go as deep as you can about it, because that's what people are going to be interested in hearing you talk about. So, that's our premise here. And, unfortunately, we have access to some great and interesting people. And talking about the process of making these movies and talking about football with Greg Cosell, the noted NFL Films guru, Greg Cosell, in each one is a blast. And I don't know, we're going to figure it out as we go. In January, we're going to spend a lot more time with Cosell. Talking playoffs. Cosell, who's now on-air talent on the NFL matchup show on ESPN.
Love that addition.
So we'll get into a little bit more football-heavy stuff.
Whoa, you dabble with the enemy, huh?
We have no enemies here, Maurice. We are...
the NFL?
We are... we are network agnostic. Of course, our favored, NFL Network, NFL Media is.
No,
we're on the
I
same
disagree
team.
With that, Cosgrove. Philosophically, you know what? I reference the audience. You know what the pro football audience wants? Rivalries. They don't want to hear that everybody gets along. Oh, yeah. No, you know what?
Don't be over here taking your shirt off after signing it. Don't do none of that.
Listen, I don't want to. Don't get into circles and pray to the same. Do that underneath the stadium. Don't do that in front
of
everybody.
But this is the inside baseball promise of the NFL Films podcast. What nobody realizes is this. NFL Network is a network, right? NFL Films, 3,000 miles away in Mount Laurel, New Jersey, is a production company. We are actually two separate entities with two different purposes.
But you have the means the of operating. There.
A production company's purpose is to produce content for whomever asks us to produce it. And so we make content
But not
for
the Ravens.
Everybody.
If the Ravens come, you're a Steeler. Yeah. If the Ravens come to you, say, no, sorry, we can't cover you
we
guys.
Do. You know, who was the subject of the very first Hard Knocks, Dave?
I'm just saying, I'm looking at you and I see NFL The Shield. And anytime I see The Shield, I think of NFL Network. And then you just tell me that you go and you have dinner and you break bread with the enemy at ESPN. What does this world come to?
Do you think that Hard Knocks on HBO is the enemy? Do you think that All or Nothing on Amazon is the enemy?
Well, Hard Knocks.
No one outside this podcast studio believes in us, Maurice.
No.
That's what
us.
I feel.
It's just us. It's just us out here.
Cosro, the Ice Bowl, one of the most fascinating games to go back and take a look at, a deep dive. Who are you catching up with on that?
All right. This is, first of all, this is the fourth episode of The Timeline this season. If you're not familiar with it, The Timeline is our documentary series that is non-biographies. It's about games, seasons,
this is what
topics.
For the record, because Cosro, you need to know this. This is the area that fascinates me more than the bios. I love the bios, but for me, those slivers of time, that's what I love the deep dives on.
I'm right with you. Before we did The Timeline, we used to do essentially episodes of The Timeline on A Football Life because we only had the one documentary series.
Yeah.
So we did Cleveland 95.
I remember that.
And we did Houston 93. And we did The Immaculate Reception. We did one on The Forward Pass. Those were all Football Life episodes.
Real quick, can I ask you a question?
That if they were made now, they would be episodes of The Timeline. I love those films. I loved having a hand in making them. And then we basically spun it off into a new series. And now we have two other guys, Ken Rogers, who runs Hard Knocks and who does our 30 for 30s, and Paul Camerata. They're the showrunners of The Timeline. And so we're doing five of those a year now. And this one on the Ice Bowl, I think, is one of the very best episodes of the series because it uses Michael Meredith, the son of Dandy Don Meredith, the quarterback of the Cowboys in that legendary game, as our entry point, as the narrator. And it's really, he goes on a quest to find out what that game still means to everybody who played in it and why it meant so much to his father who passed away a few years ago.
Okay, I got two questions. One, the Immaculate Reception, was it a catch? We all know it wasn't.
Don't stop it.
Film this shows it hits the ground. You're talking about the Jesse James.
You're going to sit here and say that the Jesse James catch wasn't a catch, but that the Immaculate Reception wasn't a catch?
Yes.
See, there's passion. Now you see, he tries to be objective. Now you poke the bear.
You're right. So we already know that those are two things that the league got wrong. You say that was
you have
wrong.
No evidence of and the then, immaculate.
You're right. The league got the Jesse James.
And then it
wrong.
Got the. It, well,
the
finally, it bit you back. How does that make you feel? It wasn't in the biggest.
The issue
game
isn't that the ball even hit back. The ground. The ball is whether or not it hit Frenchie Fuqua. That's the.
It hit
the debate.
Ground.
Yeah, we're gonna send you a nice link, Maurice. I'm gonna send you a link of the Immaculate Reception Football Life, which is as exhaustive.
I saw
a look
it. I saw
at
it.
That play.
I saw it.
It is clear by the end of that film.
I promise you, the Pittsburgh Steelers must have put money in the one camera guy's pocket because he doesn't.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
So you don't see it. You just see like Franco Harris's wrist. You don't even see his hands, and he takes off. But then
no, John Madden and Al Davis were both paranoid where the Steelers were concerned. So they've perpetuated this rubbish, and now everybody buys into it. It's nonsensical.
My second question is ridiculous. When is it too cold to play a football game?
That's the question.
Because that was negative 13. Never. First of all, I'm from California, right? There's no way on God's green earth that I'd be playing that game. Yeah. They call
it's for the championship. Sorry, matter. Coach. It's real cold.
Yeah, that's people get hurt. You first of all, you can get hurt really bad in that. I mean, you talk about hypothermia. You talk about all those things, frostbite. I mean, I remember when the Seahawks played the Vikings and the kicker
yep.
shanked it, and they were talking about they had frostbite on their arms for days and couldn't feel their pinkies and their hands, their fingers for a couple weeks. Like, that's not good.
At least you had thermal gear in the 21st century. These are the guys in the 60s. They had
the big old parka jackets.
There was legitimate, and you see in the film, in the Ice Bowl film, and the producers of the film, Dave Plout and Julia Harmon, did a great job, along with Michael Meredith, that there was real hypothermia, real after effects and consequences. There's a story that Michael told us that didn't make the film, that Jethro Pugh allegedly started hallucinating and talking with his mother.
That doesn't make
an apparition of his mother late in the game on the field.
This is too cold.
Wait a second,
that's
what?
Not funny. Like that yeah.
So which our response was, how did that not make the film? But apparently, he didn't say it on camera, apparently.
That could get sideways if you start to try to depict what Jethro was seeing and everything.
But yeah. that game, the important thing is, I don't, pound for pound, because we think of it as the Ice Bowl and we get sidetracked by how cold it was.
Right.
That is one of the greatest football games ever played. Conditions... regardless.
Well, also the impact it has on how we consider pro football teams. If the Cowboys survive that game and then they go and take care of business against the Raiders. By the way, side note, isn't it weird that the Raiders and Cowboys never played in the Super Bowl for how good they have respectively been over the course of
the Super Bowl era?
But still, yeah, it's funny that. But that would have been your Super Bowl II matchup, would have been Cowboys and Raiders. And, right. And you know, rightly or wrongly, people would no longer talk about the 60s Packers with the same intensity. And instead, the Cowboys would be considered the greatest organization of the Super Bowl
era.
If they go and beat the Raiders.
I played Chicago, and I want to say it was like 4 degrees, maybe with the wind chill of like -5. And it was so cold outside. Like that you had to tell yourself, like, no, it's hot. Don't worry about it. Like, it's not. And every time that you got hit, it felt like little knives were just cutting your arms. Like, it was – like, that's why – like, it comes to a point in time, like, look, all right, I get it. We're getting paid a lot of money. But, like you said, you have long-time effects after that if it gets too cold.
Let me ask you this. I am an advocate of, and I'm a big believer in, the notion that this is why you don't want to dome your stadium. So, we have the Super Bowl up in Minnesota.
I'm not going if it's not a dome there. I'm not going.
All right. But listen, the point is, I went to see the Ravens at Steelers a couple of weeks ago, and it was cold out. It was really cold on Sunday night. And I feel like that there is a buy-in from the – you are a part of the game. Now, I know the players don't feel that, but the players, the gathered crowd there to watch it, now we're a part of this. We're with you guys on the sideline. We're all in these elements with you.
What are you talking about?
That's it. I think that buy-in is important. Why are fans, do they feel more passionate on some level in Green Bay, Pittsburgh, New England, and otherwise? It's because you sit in the elements and you're able to maybe it's diluting oneself.
What the difference is?
I understand
drink,
you're getting.
You get to drink alcohol.
I get it.
Or now, hot cocoa.
This is good, though. You don't get to be
bundled up. I get it. I respect it. We went to play Pittsburgh in the playoffs. It was cold that day. and we had some fans come up from Jacksonville, and it was crazy. We played at Cleveland, and we had some friends come from 90 degrees or some fans come from 95 degree weather in Florida to Cleveland. It was negative.
I'm going to watch this game in the in the hotel bar. I'm not going out in that, I bet they said.
But there's no – like, I just feel like every team up north should have a dome.
No, that's the wrong
direction. I'm going to tell you why. Because at the end of the day, nothing good can come from playing in the cold. Nothing good. More injuries
happen. But something can.
Except the most iconic games in history.
Something can happen.
To people.
I want you to watch the last drive of the ice.
I want you to go out.
Which is the essence of our sport, which respectfully, I'm 5 foot. I'm really, really little. I'm saying this to you who actually played in the NFL. We're the same size, but I was like 100 pounds. So
you could be a Grammatica.
You play in the NFL. You did it. You went all the way. But when you watch the last drive of the ice ball and what Bart Starr and that offense accomplished after being frozen for 3 hours in that weather and going out there against the elements, needing to score a touchdown right now, we have to all go on the field, get in a huddle, and figure out how to do this right now. We have 4 minutes left to get down the field against the Cowboys defense and win this championship. And they do it. And
Jeff,
and the last play
Jeff
of the game.
You and his mom out there.
Hey, listen.
They are literally, he is drawing up plays in the dirt and going over to tell Lombardi, I got it. They don't have any timeouts left. And he wants to run a QB sneak that they don't even have in their playbook.
All that
it
sounds
good. It is the
good.
Essence of what our sport is.
All that sounds
what
good.
Happened
I just
on,
want
on
you
Lambeau,
and Sheck.
In Lambeau Field that afternoon. And that's why 50 years later, we still talk about it. And we wouldn't if it was in a dome.
I respect all that. I just want you and Sheck to go out to Lambeau. Or hey, you'll be at the Super Bowl. Will you be at the Super Bowl?
Yes.
Let's all go out and just play tackle football in negative degree weather.
You
let's
think Cosgrove and I didn't see, play backyard football
see,
in the
let's
snow?
Let's just see how it
cold.
Feels. No, it's snow. I'm talking about in negative degree weather. And listen, I'm going to be out there with you. I'm going to be bundled up.
All right.
But then I'm just going to be out there
Saturday,
smacking everybody.
Special live broadcast
no
of
question.
DDFP. We will play football
Why not?
Outside in
the
Minnesota.
Cold.
I need
cold.
An NFL offense with me because I have said, Cosgrove, if you put me under center behind a good offensive line.
No, you don't get no offensive line. You get to pick some people around here.
All right.
And then you guys will be on a team. I'll pick my team. I'll have Colleen out there, and we'll be out there smacking people. Colleen Wolf.
That's the thing, and we're going to talk with the Wolf now about that. I want to talk about, do you want to be the thing that the Eagles have? All right, they have Nick Foles. That's not good.
Mm-mm.
But they do have home field advantage, and you do the Saints and Rams, they don't want to go up there and play in 0 degrees. Hey, Cosgrove, can't wait to hear and watch this latest installment of your great work, and obviously you're welcome here on the DDFP in Studio 66 anytime you find yourself on the,
thanks,
on the
guys.
West Coast.
Check out the Timeline Ice Bowl premieres this Friday night, December 29th, then it'll be on demand, and the NFL Films podcast accompaniment featuring the narrator and co-producer of the film, Michael Meredith, will come out alongside it. So check them both out. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Also, remember, February 3rd.
Happy holidays, Cosgrove.
February 3rd in Minnesota. Ice Bowl 3.
You're the one who's scared. I'm
not
scared.
We're going
to
let it rock.
I'm happy
let's
to
go.
Play
February
that one.
3rd.
Well, let's go. You're the one who's
find an outdoor
the
field, and we'll go get it going. Just so we can
pack an extra layer.
All the fans, you're welcome.
Is the Met still standing? Because that's where we have to play it.
Doesn't matter. Wherever we go, let's go.
That's a good idea.
There he goes. All right, Cosgrove, great stuff. Check out that podcast. All right, the Wolf, answer it now. Do you feel like I'm overstating the import of home field advantage for the Eagles? Again, Todd Gurley's a banger. Mark Ingram's a banger. You don't want to try to tackle Superman when it's 5 degrees out. That will hurt the guy trying to tackle more than it hurts one.
The Eagles need it. The Eagles definitely need – they need a lot right now. So home field advantage only helps them. They play a lot better at home. But they need to clean up a lot of stuff before.
But if they're running into the locker room 30 minutes in and they're down 10 points to Cam Newton, that it becomes a disadvantage because the boo birds might come out. I don't know if you heard the Eagles fans. They boo sometimes.
That is all I saw game was Santa Claus and the old fans.
I love that Philadelphia sports fans like to argue now, and for 10 years now have perpetuated this argument. That's overstated. We don't really
it's
boo
such
that
a cliche.
Much. Sometimes cliches.
They do throw batteries.
What a boo. I'm
sometimes
you
cliches
now.
Are cliches because they're true.
Whatever.
Are you arguing that the Philly fans aren't harsh?
Yes, you're wrong.
This time they have to. They're not saying boo, they're saying false.
Is that what they're saying?
Same thing. I don't know. False.
All right.
Check. They're That's in a world it. Of trouble.
You think so?
They're in a world of trouble.
You know what? I think it's the Saints or I think it's the Rams. But the Rams, like, you're going to put your stock in a sophomore? Jared Goff's going to run the table?
I'm going to tell you all this right now.
Case Keenum's
Rams
gonna
go
do it?
To the Super Bowl, I will not be seeing any of you guys during that week because I won't be working for the NFL Network. I will be working for the Los Angeles Rams.
Yeah.
And I'll be partying my face off.
Can I tell you something? Kamish Goodell, I know you're listening. You must make a commissioner's, exemption and allow the Rams to wear good uniforms. You cannot allow.
God.
I think they're waiting. They have to wait to the new stadium, and they're going to go back to the old ones.
I want you to hear me.
Which old one?
Kamish Goodell.
The white and blue.
Oh, I love those.
Don't listen to them, Kamish. It's you and me right now. If the Rams make the
Where's
Super
your single? You got to go to your single when you if you're going to do it.
You know what? That's right. Where is my single?
MJD loves to call his
that's
camera.
Fine. That's
you don't have a single.
Hey, sorry. TV Pro, please. The commission and I are talking. If the Rams make the Super Bowl, that's fine. That's great. But you must let them wear the right uniforms. That's it. That's
I want. Do the right thing, Rod.
You cannot let them go out there in those get-ups. And by the way, let me think quickly as Bartlett's trying to wrap us up here. We have to go. What was the uniform matchup last year? It was the
Falcons, Patriots.
And the so NFC had the choice, so they would get to wear the Rams. Well, the Rams would probably go with the all white because they know that looks better.
Yeah.
So at least they'd have that. That looks better than when they wear
But their helmet has gold in it, though. So
it's not
really
good.
Bad.
The point is, Kamish, please do the right thing. And let's make sure the Jags don't get there because what if it's the Rams and the Jags?
That's it.
It's unwatchable.
What would MJD do?
With those uniforms?
I'm definitely not working. I may not work for the Rams
I don't know if MJD would survive that Super Bowl.
I'm out.
If it's the Rams and the Jags, you can't even think of it. Look, he's leaving.
He's out. I know.
It's too much. Just the thought of it is too much to bear. What if it becomes a reality?
I don't know. We're going to be hanging out with MJD the whole time, though.
The Wolf, thanks so much. Season two. To you in our last podcast, I guess, before the regular season is a wrap here. Just marvelous work all season long on
you
Good
too.
Morning Football and what else?
You can do it. You can do it. Come on.
Game Day Morning.
Yes, you did it.
And pick 'em.
And what do I do with MJD?
I mean, you kind of carry the around
Power
the
NFL, rankings.
I'll say this about
do
your
not
work on around
try
the
and pull me into some riff.
You make it okay. Is what you do. You make it okay. I kid everybody. Happy holidays to everybody. Continued good times. And if you want to elevate those good times from great to gangbusters, make sure you check out the Shecky Awards.
Subscribe, guys.
See? That's nice. All right. Yeah. Maurice is gone. He's off there now.
He already left,
He's running laps until the Super Bowl out of fear that he's going to have to choose between the Rams and Jaguars. All right. Thanks to Keith Cosgrove. Make sure you go check out the NFL Films podcast as well. Until the Shecky Awards. It's been a thin slice of heaven.
It's the pig skinniest season of all. Belichick is still frowning and Cleveland still browning. We root for Steelers. It's the pig skinniest time.